We're going to be starting a new series today called Level Up. In this series, the idea is this. This is a call to spiritual maturity, or a call to pursuing spiritual maturity. This is part of our church's desire to see spiritually healthy households in Angelina County. How can we be spiritually healthy if we are not pursuing spiritual maturity? And so with that, this is going to be a series that will start today and it'll run through the end of September, giving various characteristics of those who are pursuing spiritual health. I've got to be honest that today's passage in Hebrews chapter 5 and even going into chapter 6 is a stern message. If you've heard the phrase before in church world of a sermon stepping on your toes, this is going to be one of those. And I don't say that to apologize, but more to warn you. See, when we think about our toes being stepped on, what that means is someone is getting into our personal business, into our personal space, so close that they have trodden over our toes. And the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 5 has to stop his sermon, if you will, in order to give a loving rebuke. Now, the other thing I want to say is this. I don't have anyone in particular in mind as I preach this today. This is more of scattershot. So if you get hit, blame the Holy Spirit, not me. This idea of level up is sort of, in my mind, the thought of even like a video game. In typical video games, you start off with not a lot of resources or skills, and through the course of that game, you level up in order to accomplish the purpose or the mission or the campaign of that video game. In the same way, we cannot remain spiritual infants. We must grow into spiritual maturity. So with that, let's read Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. And this is what it says. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, before we dive in and unpack this, let me just give a little bit of context to the passage and where we find ourselves. So the book of Hebrews is a very interesting book in that we don't know who wrote it. There are a lot of theories. There's some who believe it is the Apostle Paul. In fact, there's a high probability that I will accidentally say as Paul wrote during this sermon, but that would be a false statement because I don't know that he wrote it. There are others that think that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts that we just spent a little bit of time in, wrote the book of Hebrews. There are others who believe that Barnabas, who we talked about last week, wrote the book of Hebrews. There are some even Martin Luther thought that Apollos may have written the book of Hebrews. But at the end of the day, it's just fun speculation, and we don't know. In fact, the book of Hebrews, some even think that it is a series or one sermon that was transcribed and written down because of the use of rhetorical speech. It is a book that is meant to be read out loud, like a sermon almost. And so some people feel like a preacher was preaching it and someone wrote it down and it began to circulate among the churches. But here's one thing we do know about the book of Hebrews. It was written to declare the supremacy of Christ. As you read through the book of Hebrews, you find that this author is stating that Jesus is superior to angels, that Jesus is superior to Moses, that in Jesus we find a superior rest than the people of Israel found when they made it into the promised land. And then he begins to describe how Jesus is a superior high priest from the order of Melchizedek. And then it is at this moment that he presses pause and says, there's more that I want to say about this, and the this being how Jesus comes from the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek. Melchizedek being a priest that Abraham met in the book of Genesis. He says, I would love to tell you more, but it's going to be hard for me to explain it to you, not because it's a difficult topic, but because you have become dull of hearing. Thank you. And here's the deal. We've become dull of hearing, and the author here is actually using some irony to shame his audience in order to snap them awake. And he says this, you should be teachers, but yet you need somebody to remind you and teach you of the basic elementary principles of the faith. You should be eating meat, and yet you are still on milk. He says, for people on milk are immature, but people who are mature and enjoy solid food, they understand through trained practice how to discern and live a godly life. If you and I are going to have a spiritually healthy household, and if that's a household of one or a household of a whole group of mixed generations or a whole household for kids or a household of a husband and a wife, whatever your household, if you want a spiritually healthy household, then this is a message that we need to embrace about spiritual maturity. So I've got just two quick principles to expound upon this morning. How do we move from milk to meat? Number one, snap out of spiritual lethargy. Snap out of it. I did it right there, right out of the gate. The author of Hebrews says, I would love to tell you more about Melchizedek, but you have become dull of hearing. Again, I've got no one in mind this morning except for the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit wants to land this on this morning. But for some in this room or watching online, snap out of it. There is a lethargy. There is a dullness. There is an apathy. There is a sense of blah or malaise about you in your spiritual walk. And Scripture is telling us, you want a spiritually healthy home? Snap out of it. It's time to move out of this dullness, out of this slothfulness, spiritually speaking. So I've got a couple of questions here that come out of the author in 5:11-14. Is this me? So here's just a little checkup. Number one, can you explain the elementary principles of the Christian faith? And this is not just a simple statement. I want you to really think about this for a few moments. If asked, could you explain the very basic principles of Christianity? Could you explain the basic principles of your faith to your spouse, to your kids, to a neighbor. If someone asked you, how do I become a Christian? Is your first impulse to call the church office, or is your first impulse to sit down and say, let me share what God has done? Here's the issue, if this is you and you're going, I don't know if I can. The question is how long have you been proclaiming the name of Jesus? If you got saved last week, then you're okay. You are in the normal part. You are a baby Christian. If you were saved by Jesus Christ in a year that starts with 19, you should be able to do this. If you were saved during a period of the aughts, in the early 2000s, you should be able to do this. If you were saved by Jesus Christ in a period in the 20-teens, you should be able to do this. I mean, we're just talking about the basic message of the faith. I mean, it goes back. I'll even give you just the basics from a VBS that I went to a long time ago. VBSs used to do this. They would call it the ABCs of salvation. A, admit to God you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Now, at my VBS, they said C for confess, but that confused a lot of people because we just admitted that we were sinners. They were using confess in a different way. So we began to say, A, admit to God you're a sinner. B, believe Jesus is God's Son. And C, choose to make Jesus Lord of your life. Can you explain that to someone? In chapter 6 of Hebrews, the author even lays out a couple of the elementary things that we should have as a foundation. And he says that we would turn from dead works through repentance. That's the ABCs right there. That we would know how to explain simple things like washings or baptism and the meaning behind it. That we'd be able to explain simple things like there is an eternal judgment and Jesus is that judge. These are simple, elementary principles. And so my question again, not necessarily from me, but from Hebrews chapter 5, is simply this. Based on how long you've been following Christ, can you explain the basics? If not, it is time to snap out of spiritual lethargy. Secondly, is this me? Do you have field-tested competency in matters of sanctified living? Do you have field-tested competency in matters of sanctified living? These would be things that you could think of in spiritual maturity. Do you know how to pray? This is a very simple thing, connecting with the God of the universe who has made a way through Jesus Christ that we may enter boldly into the throne room because of the shed blood of Jesus, that we may pray to Him. I love meeting with new believers in a discipleship process and they're being able to ask the question as spiritual infants on milk, to say, how do I pray? It's normal for a spiritual infant to want to learn how to pray, how to read the Bible. What does worship mean? What does the Lord's Supper mean? What does baptism mean? Like, these are normal things. But it is as unnatural and odd for a grown believer, and not by age, by physical age, but by spiritual age, for them to go backwards and to say, I don't know how to pray. I've been following God for a decade, and I don't know how to pray. In the same way that we would use a term, not for a television show, but for development, called arrested development, for a human being who is not progressing naturally and typically in the order of growing up from baby food to steak. We would say that there is something that has happened that is not to the normal course of nature there. The same is true spiritually. Do we know how to pray? Do we know how to hear and obey God? One of our elders, Jeff, preached on this just a few weeks ago, and speaking of the fact of God still speaks today. Can you hear him? Do you have competency, like the skills, the know-how, the training, the weeks and months and years of experience of hearing God and obeying him? If not, snap out of it. It's time to move forward and pursue spiritual maturity. This is such a critical thing. One of the reasons I believe that we have spiritually unhealthy households, and I'm not even talking about those outside of God's church, I'm talking about within God's church, is because we have been spiritually lethargic. We have been blah. We have been assuming that someone else will be the spiritual leader in our own home. Many come on Sunday mornings hoping that the preacher will give you everything you need for the week. And while I pray that you'll remember part of a sermon for at least 24 hours after a Sunday, the purpose of this is a corporate gathering of worship and for a corporate proclamation of truth. And I do pray that it whets your appetite for solid food, that you will go home and eat spiritual meat, that you will go to a life group who will help train you. See, this is, for the most part, a monologue, not a dialogue. You need a dialogue as a believer where you can ask questions and the teacher can take time to instruct you. This is one way. You need dialogue. Do you fit this category of those that the author of Hebrews is saying, I have much to tell you, but it's going to be difficult because you're slow to hear. You are dull of hearing. I told you I was going to be stepping on toes today. I don't take pleasure in it, but it is out of love. You understand that. The second thing this morning from moving from milk to meat is this. Grow up and be useful to God. I thought about getting a bigger pulpit to hide behind in case anybody wanted to throw something at me when I tell you to grow up. But have you ever seen someone that was acting less than their age and you just wanted to tell them, grow up? The author of Hebrews did not hesitate to tell a whole church, grow up. And in chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews, he starts it like this. He says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. What the author of Hebrews is not saying is that the gospel is not important. He's saying, no, that is a foundation that has already been laid. We don't move away from it, but let's build up on it. You want to move from milk to meat. We got to grow up and learn how to be useful to God. Here's a sub-point for you. Insight: spiritually mature people pursue a deeper understanding and assurance of their faith. Look in chapter 6, verse 11. And this is his point of this little aside. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end. The reason the author stops in the middle of wanting to talk about how Jesus is a supreme high priest is he doesn't want him to miss it. He says, I want you to grow up so that you can have a fuller assurance. There's oftentimes, particularly when I was in student ministry, that I would have students maybe in 11th or 12th grade who would come to my office and they would say something like this, and I think that this probably is true not just for students but for a lot of people. And they would say something like this, I feel like I'm not sure if I'm saved because when I got saved when I was 9 and now I know so much more, I'm not sure I understood what I was doing when I was 9. And while that may sound like, oh, great, let's get them saved and get them in that baptistry and pump our numbers up. No, here's my first question to them or statement. Do you know that you were not saved by how much you know, but by who you know? And then the second thing I would tell them is the fact that you know more at 17 about God and salvation than you did at 9 means that you have been growing spiritually. This is normal that you know more now than you did at 9. Where I get nervous and want to talk more about conversion with someone in that situation is when they say, I don't know why I did it. Or I know that I did it because it was with, I wanted to be getting baptized with my friends, or I felt pressure from mom and dad to do. That's a different ballgame than I really felt like I trusted him, but I know so much more now. We were never saved by how much we know, but by who we know. And it is normal, milk to meat normal, that you would know more now, a greater depth of salvation and who Jesus is. That's the whole point in Hebrews, is he's saying, I want to teach you more about the priesthood of Jesus, and I got to stop to make sure you're paying attention. And then he picks up for 3 more chapters to describe the superiority of Jesus as high priest. See, the insight is that God wants you to pursue maturity, which means you will pursue a deeper understanding and gain a deeper assurance of the faith in which he has gifted you by grace through faith. Think of it like this. Like math, elementary math, simple math, 2 + 2 = 4. I really wanted it to be elementary so that I could get it right. We understand elementary math, and we remember when we were in elementary school how challenging even that formula was. But then you get into high school math, and they got imaginary numbers. We got letters in the formula now. X plus Y. It's like, what? Well, what is this? But you understand that it is both math. And when you master high school, you have mastered and grown from elementary to understand a deeper level of what math is and how it operates. It's a normal progression. If you've got a high school senior that is still struggling with 2 + 2, that is cause for remedial teaching because something has not functioned properly. Some of you are not math people. Let me go to literature. When you're in elementary school, you learn how to just put letters together into words, and you read captivating stories like See, Spot, Run. And you couldn't put it down. Read it to me again. But when you get into high school, all of a sudden there are deeper themes and meaning underneath the text. I remember reading Old Man and the Sea and thinking, oh, this is a fun little story about a guy by the sea. And all of a sudden, we begin to be taught that, no, it is representing some themes and even had spiritual and biblical themes underneath the text. It's still reading, but you have gained a deeper knowledge of the same subject. When we came to Christ, we had the elementary teaching, admit, believe, and confess, or choose Christ. And years later, after following him, we should be able to understand and pursue the depths of Scripture and understand some of the depth of why God sent his Son and how that redeems us and what that means for us in active life. The author of Hebrews says, if that is not you, grow up and be useful. Which brings me to the second insight. Spiritually mature people build muscle memory for discernment and obedience. Spiritually mature people build muscle memory for discernment and obedience. In chapter 6, and I'm going to move very quickly. In chapter 6, there's a little agricultural metaphor that takes place in verses 7 and 8. And essentially, the author says this, a land that has been blessed with rain will bear fruit and be cultivated and be useful and receive a blessing from God. These are those that are pursuing spiritual maturity. But then he says, if that same land has received all that rain but yet produces thistles and thorns, it is to be counted as cursed and to be burned up. Now, what is the author saying? He's saying this, be mindful that you have not just saturated yourself with the blessing of hearing God's truth, but have never put it into practice. If the fruit of your life is not discernment and God-honoring fruit as defined by Galatians and other passages, be careful that it's not thorns and thistles and you be found useless. Because useless fields get burned. Now, the author of Hebrews doesn't want to just leave his church that he's writing to totally discouraged after that. And so he says, but I think more of what God wants to do with you. I know that God is in and active in your life. I know that you want to be spiritually mature. I know that you want to be fruitful, not useless. Last weekend, my kids had participated earlier in the summer in a local art camp through the art museum downtown. And they had on Sunday, for all the weeks of camp, an art show showcasing different art pieces of art from the kids. And what was really interesting to me as we walked through this art show is that they had all the kids' art displayed and intermixed with the art that is displayed by what we might think of as maybe professional artists. And the reason I bring that up is every piece of artwork there was done with a level of skill and designed for beauty, and designed to be displayed. And so I just want to say, I mean, my kids' own artwork was in there, but I could tell what art pieces were typically done by children and which were done by artists who had honed their skill over many years. But here's the reality, for many of those kids, where they started, and again, excellent artwork for their age and skill level, if they put in the practice and hone their skill, they very well might have a permanent piece of art displayed in the Museum of Art downtown here in East Texas. But if they never seek to hone that skill and progress their talent, and the same artwork that they did this summer is the same artwork and level that they're able to do in 10 years, then they have not put to use and honed the skill with discipline. In the same way, God has considered you his masterpiece. He sent his very son to die in your place. And we've heard the phrase, and it is true, that God doesn't expect you to clean yourself up. He meets you where you are. But what we often leave off is that God does not intend to leave you where he found you. He intends for you to grow spiritually. He intends for you to have a deeper understanding. He intends for you to have skill in living sanctified life, knowing how to pray, knowing how to hear something and discern whether it is true or not, to know whether something is morally right or evil, to be able to hear from him and feel conviction over sin so that we will not continue down a road of destruction. He is looking for those who will progress from spiritual milk to spiritual meat. And I want you to understand, I'm going to close because I'm out of time, but it is both a knowledge and an action, spiritual maturity is. And the reason I bring that up is that there are some who are in 25 Bible studies gaining knowledge, but they're never putting anything into action. And there are those who are out serving, but could not tell you the ABCs of the faith. Spiritual maturity is both. It is both a knowledge that brings greater assurance of faith, and it is action that is honed in the powers of discernment, as the writer of Hebrews said, to know right from wrong and how to act. And so as I close, on your LifePoint outline, there's a little graph here, birth and today. What I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to put a cross where you feel like it is appropriate on that timeline from birth to today, of when you accepted Christ. And then I want you to look at the distance from that cross in the timeline to today and ask yourself, am I growing spiritually, or have I experienced spiritual arrested development where I have not moved forward? You want to be a spiritually healthy individual and have a spiritually healthy household, snap out of it, grow up, and be useful. And all that is said with love, I promise. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, I thank you that you will give us a loving rebuke when needed. Father, I pray for myself, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that we would receive this. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment to hear where we need to snap out of our spiritual lethargy. Help us not to be dull of hearing. Father, help us to grow and mature in faith, that we would have a greater assurance of our faith. You desire that for us. And God, that we would put into practice with a competency of how to live a sanctified life. What our world needs, those that are lost and separated from Christ, they need to see spiritually mature households living with abundant life that only comes from you. And so God, may we repent where we need to repent, and may we dive headlong into pursuing spiritual maturity. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.